All right, a few principles that we've been looking at, core values, and number one, we've talked about these, so I don't want to jump into them. If you haven't heard these and you have not listened to this sermon series, I promise you, I think we're in week five. We've four messages online. You absolutely, if you are part of our body of believers and you have not, you consider yourself a church family, you're part of our church. Now, you have not listened to all of the messages. I want to encourage you to do so. We all want to be on the same page. And every message that I've preached has been important to what we want to do in the future. So if you haven't done it, you ought to do it. If you were missing last week, it's online. You ought to listen to it. Number one, a core value, God's Word, the Bible. We value God's Word as a catalyst for transformative change. Believe that God's Word is what changes lives. We believe that. We're not going to apologize for it. That's why we just want to be faithful to it. Faithful to that job. Prayer. We value passionate prayer as essential to everything that we do. We're going to do things this year that are going to require God's hand on this church. That means that our church is going to have to be praying at home. Praying like crazy for our children, for our ministries, for your pastor, for your leadership. We need to be praying for our community that God will give us opportunity to bless and minister to and share the gospel with our community. We need to be doing that. Basically, what we're talking about is that we want to have a church this year where the rubber meets the road and we're actually doing what it is that God's calling us to do. That means we're going to have to dedicate ourselves to that, rededicate ourselves to that, and position ourselves spiritually where we can accomplish some things. Equipping. We believe in equipping, and we said that over the last 2 weeks in this sense, that we value godly stewardship of our spiritual gifts. So everybody in here has a spiritual gift. And if you're a believer today, you have a spiritual gift, and that gift is to be used in the service of and for the benefit of building faith in other believers. We believe that. We're not going to apologize for that. And we're going to do a good job, a better job this year at showing you what your spiritual gift is, helping you discover it, and helping you plug in to ministry. And it might not be a ministry, but at least you'll know this is how God's going to use me to build faith in others. The gospel. We believe sharing the gospel is central to our calling. That's what we're going to talk about today. And then lastly, and this is next week, connection. We value very strongly the building of family relationships, strong family relationships. That means we want to do a good job at making sure that your family is healthy, both your marriage, the relationship that you have, but also, and as important, we want to make sure that our church family is connected, that we love one another, and that this doesn't become anything other than a family of God worshiping together. Because I really believe that Gene is my family's brother in Jesus, and he's called to this church, and I'm so thankful that he's my church family. And likewise, Shane and John, and this is family, so we love one another. In the same way we would be patient with family in real life, we're going to be patient with our church family and love one another. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, I want to turn very quickly, and this will be not a long message today, but I want to invite you to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, as we talk about sharing the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, 15. One of five times when Jesus gave us a commission, let's call it a calling. God has a calling on your life. If you're a believer today, God has called you to do something very specific. We call it the Great Commission, or the Great Calling of God over us. And this is one of five places when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, and he was on earth for 40 days, and over the period of five different Sundays, Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission in different ways. And we find one in Matthew chapter 28, one in the book of John. We find one here in the book of Mark. Luke has the gospel commission given to us. Again, four different weeks, interesting study, and we'll do this one day. Perhaps we'll do this year. Five different Sundays that Jesus gave over a period of 40 days, that Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, and he built on that Great Commission. He built on it every time he gave it, he built on it. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you'll remember, Jesus, right as he ascends on a Sunday morning to go back and be caught up in the clouds, Jesus gives the very last time the Great Commission for the last time, and he builds on it, and he talks about, if you remember, God will give us the Holy Spirit in order to, and that's the first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned in connection to the Great Commission. So he's building on this Great Commission. In other words, and the reason this is important is because we have this idea that the Great Commission was only given one time, and Jesus actually, he was only seen on Sundays. Jesus did not show up for those 40 days. He did not show up to the disciples all the time. He only showed up on every subsequent Sunday after the resurrection. And when he did that every single Sunday, and we know that when we study it, because Jesus is in different locations in these five different givings of the Great Commission. And every time that Jesus sees the disciples, he tells them, this is something you ought to be doing. He's sharing this commission with his church. I imagine that, and then the very last time, Acts 1:8, that Jesus, for the very last thing he does on earth before he goes to heaven, is say, you ought to be doing this. You will be given strength to go into Judea, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, and I'll send you the Holy Spirit of God to give you power to do it. This is the very last time Jesus sees us. He reiterates what he had already said four times. Do you have a suspicion that maybe this is important for the body of Jesus, that this is the thing that Jesus left us to do? And here it is. This is the Great Commission. And he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world. How much of the world? All of it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to everyone, to the whole world. We're to preach the gospel now. He said in Acts 1:8 that we're to go into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. There's a way in which this is done. We go into all the world, but it starts at home. And the reality is that everybody in this room, the commission starts for you at home. It starts for you in Tiffin. And I've said this before, and we're going to build on a little bit of this. Go into all the world. We absolutely have a call to God to reach Tiffin, Ohio. I've said it before, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, but what business have we preaching the gospel in Africa when we haven't done a good job in Tiffin? It seems like we're getting the cart before the horse. I'm for ministry, and we support missionaries, and we want to build on that missionary work that we're doing. Every year, our goal is to keep building our missionary support. We don't want to add more missionaries necessarily. We want to bless in bigger ways the missionaries that we're supporting now. We want to really equip them to do the work of ministry easy, to make it as easy for them to do it. So we want to build the support that we have into others. We'd love to every missionary that we have, that we're supporting them, half of their support. We'd love that when they come back home, that this is their home church, if you will, and that they stay with us for a month, blessing us in the same manner that we've blessed them. So our missionary model is we want to super bless the missionaries that we have going around the world preaching the gospel. We absolutely want to do that. And that's important, and that's part of the calling, because it's all the world. But it is also true that your neighbor is the calling of God on your life, that you ought to be trying to reach and minister to your co-workers. You ought to be preaching the gospel to your co-worker, your neighbor, your neighborhood, because that's all the world, and that's where your ministry begins. Your ministry begins at home with your children and your neighbors, the people that God has put in your sphere of influence. That is the world that God has for you to be sharing the Great Commission in. Does that make sense? All the world is not all the world. I mean, it's China, absolutely. It's Africa, absolutely. And it's your and it's next door. And we don't want to be a church where we're saying, listen, we need to preach the gospel to all the world. We need to go to all the world, preach the gospel. We need to have great missionaries, and we need to be in every country in the world. And that's really great, except that absolutely isn't a substitute for reaching your neighbor. I've been into plenty of churches that, man, they feel so good about their missionary work, and they put money in the plate for missionaries, and they mark for missionaries, and they're giving to missions, and they're doing a great job at that. But guess what? They're not. And then they feel like, man, I'm fulfilling the Great Commission. I put a check, and I give, and I tithe, and I do the things that I ought to with my money. And then the church takes part of that and sends it around the world. I feel really good about myself. I'm doing God's work. I'm fulfilling the Great Commission. Wrong. Wrong if you're not reaching your neighbor. We don't get to escape from this commission that easy. The Great Commission is not go into your pocketbook and put money in the plate so that the church can then take that money and support missionaries, and then we fulfill the Great Commission. That is not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given to individuals about their responsibility to reach their communities first with Jesus, and then building from there. Has everybody received that today? Everybody with me so far? Everybody with me? We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So the first word is command, absolute, must do, go. Go. Not optional, not sort of, gee whiz, if this is, so what we talked about the last 2 weeks about gifts and abilities, this is not part of that. This is not sort of, well, that's not my gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't have the gift to be a pastor and to preach. This is not under this umbrella. This is everybody has to do this. Everybody's responsibility. Now, I'll just ask you, and I'm just going to ask you, so because God's word says, go and do this. Go and do this. And so just not a question that you have to answer. Don't answer out loud. Are you, as an individual, not what you put in your, not the money you put in the offering that gets distributed into our missionaries, not that. Are you, as an individual, a good steward of the calling of God on your life to go into all the world, beginning with your neighborhood and the world and influence that God has? Are you doing a good job at what we're saying, how Jesus says, preaching the gospel? Are you doing that? So hold on. What in the world, into all the world? Okay, so you can't, so God hasn't called, Nate, has God called you to Africa? No, Nate's not called to Africa. Newsflash. Nate has a job. Nate has responsibility to that job that God has put over you. That's the responsibility of the world that God has. You can't go into all the world, but you can go into your job with the people that God has for you around you, and you can be salt and light, and you can be sharing your faith in that world. And that's your responsibility. I assume that nobody in this room is called to Africa. What's the calling of God in your life? Well, who are your friends? Who are your neighbors? You're supposed to go to those people and do the job. Preach the gospel. So I'm not good at preaching. Okay, let's explain. Let's not make this complicated. This is not sort of what I'm doing. So Nate, this would be a mistake. Don't go tomorrow to work, get a podium, pull it out, plop your Bible in, and tell everybody to turn to Mark chapter 16, and start to preach. And that would be bad. Tony, that would be bad if you did that at your job. Would be very bad. Preaching is just a word to mean declare. Declare. Say, tell. Tell people the good news. Oh, what's the gospel? Good news. This is what we're talking about today, is the thing that God is using to change the world. And we get to be part of the thing that God is using to change the world. That's exciting. So that means that the God of the universe created, and that created everything, that this God that we can't even comprehend how big God is. God is working with us to change the world, and this is part of it. And he wants you and I involved in this process, this exciting process, this subversive process to change the world in front of our very eyes, that God gets to use us to be part of that strategy. That's exciting. This is not boring. This is exciting. I'm excited to be part of a church and part of a calling of God that gets me out into this community, that gets to so that because I'm here and because you're here and because we're cooperating together, this community at the end of 2018 looks different than it does today, because God has used this church to be salt and light in our community, and we do a good job at declaring the good news of Jesus to people such that it changes lives, and the demographic of Tiffin looks different because of this church. Now, either we're getting on that page and we're going to do something that's exciting for Jesus. We're saying, man, I've got to get on this great commission thing. I've got to begin to share the gospel with people, to share the good news of who Jesus is with people. And as you do that, God begins to change them. You begin to see God working in them. You just having conversation with your coworkers and saying, hey, listen, if I ever talk to you about the most important thing in my life, and say, no, you've never talked to me. Well, I just want to talk to you about that. If we ever get a chance, I want to talk about who Jesus is to me. You begin to have real conversations, opening up the door for questions so that you can share the gospel with people in a real way. The gospel is not your testimony. Your testimony is what God did for you, and that's good. The testimony is just a way to launch in to how good God is and what God has done for you. Go into all the world. Command. Go. Where? To all the world. To include Tiffin, Ohio. To include the neighbors that you have. To include the co-workers that you have. Go. Command. Got to happen. Needs to happen. Nobody gets to bail out of this responsibility. Everybody here on this page. Let's go into our world and preach the gospel. Let me just pose a question. I'm just curious. If there were a church that, and what I mean, I don't mean a building. I mean, if there was a church that had a group of people that met on Sunday morning, and those, that group of people decided as individuals to do this well, do you think that God would do something with that? Do you think that God would bless that and say, I see a church that's really doing what I've said that they're going to do. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in the way that I said that I would, and I'm going to come beside that effort, and I'm going to start to do things and shake things up. How many believe right now that that would happen? You believe that? How many? So I don't want you to answer too quickly. I feel like I got an answer too fast. I want you to think about it. I want you to honestly think, put your thinking cap on and soul search here. Do you believe that if there were a church where the individuals in that church decided to take this seriously, that the Holy Spirit of God would empower that church to accomplish really amazing things, things that we haven't seen before? How many believe? And just don't say it unless you believe it. Because if you believe it and you say you believe it, then hopefully that means that you want to be on that page. How many would say that, yes, I believe that if we as a church decide to take this seriously, that God would do something in this community? I listen, so I'm on that page. I believe absolutely that if we take this seriously, that we could just about do everything else poorly, and God's still going to accomplish some big, big things in our church, in and through our church, in this community that we call Tiffin. I believe that unshakingly. And I also conversely believe that the stagnation that occurs in 99% of American churches that are dead are a result of individuals in churches not taking this responsibility seriously. I believe that also unshakingly. And so if I'm right there, then that means that we have to be honest about our role in the stagnation that is found in our church to some degree or another. Will you receive that with love, that the genuine love that I have for you? Because I can tell you this, if we're doing what God has commanded us to do, God is going to do His part, and His part is miraculous. I believe that. So go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. To all. That means, at least that means that there are people that we should not exclude. Do you agree with that? I think that I know that this is cultural and I understand it. And I know that the demographic here in Tiffin, Ohio is predominantly white, and so we would expect that what we see in church is predominantly white. But I also believe that if we're doing our job, that will reflect in our sharing the gospel with all kinds of different people. And the Holy Spirit's going to draw all kinds of different people, and that this church at some point won't be predominantly white, because we're sharing with everyone. To all the world, all ethnic creeds, all types of people, we're going to share this. We're going to share our faith. We're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If we want to grow, we need to say, and part of this core value is that we're saying growth for us, at least a big part of growth for us, means that we're making converts and we're turning them into disciples. And if we're not doing that, we're not healthy. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, the church of God was growing by leaps and bounds. How? Convert growth. They didn't have churches where people were just transferring from churches. There wasn't a church. People were being converted and joining the church because of convert growth. That's healthy. We need to do that. We're going to be doing something this year that I'm excited about. And I'm going to close here, but this is part of what we're doing to try to make this well. When I was in seminary, Kelly and I went to Thomas Road, but we also were involved in Evangelism Explosion with Thomas Road Baptist Church. If you've never heard, that's Jerry Falwell's church. We were there, and I had the privilege of not only having completed several years of Evangelism Explosion, but through Thomas Road and through Evangelism Explosion, I became a teacher, trainer, certified. I was able to start this ministry and other ministries. I've the capacity to train people because I've gone through their training. And I called them last week and said, it's been many, many moons since I've taught this ministry. Am I still sort of qualified to do it? And they looked my name up, said, you could still do it. And so I said, okay, well we're going to do that here. We're going to do it here. Evangelism Explosion is, if you've heard of D. James Kennedy, started this ministry 25 years ago, many, many years ago. And it's the largest evangelism training ministry in the world. Nothing's close. And so it's effective. God has blessed it. It's in every continent. It's in 80 countries. It's unbelievable ministry. And what it is a training that we want to do that equips you and teaches you how to share the gospel in a non-confrontational way. We're going to do this year. It's $57. $57 gets you the training manual, a beautiful book that describes how to deal with questions and how to deal with things, a CD that's got the gospel presentation that you memorize over 13 weeks. You will be memorizing a gospel presentation that you'll feel very comfortable sharing your faith with others. You'll have a CD to do that. And then you have this little packet of things that's really handy and neat. It's got some tracks. Did you know tracks? It's got a flip card where you can memorize your gospel presentation with a flip card. It's got, once you lead people to the Lord, think partners in growing, things that you could leave with the convert to help them to grow as you turn them into disciples, partners in praying, religious questionnaires to go out and do this on your own and ask questions with questionnaire and to communities. Just an amazing ministry. I'm excited about it. I've shared the gospel hundreds and hundreds of times using the Evangelism Explosion gospel presentation. We're going to do that this year. This is something I'm so passionate about. If you would say, and maybe you in this room are saying, I'm not sure I feel very confident sharing my faith, this is for you. In fact, I would say that everybody should just do it. You know, it's a little pricey at $57. But couples could buy one thing, and it's absolutely amazing. We're going to do that this year, and we're going to talk as an elder board what that looks like and how that is going to be. But what we want to do is equip you and make you confident so that you can share the gospel in a way that's easy, in a way that's effective, in a way that leads people to Jesus in a very clear way. And we want to empower you to do that. We'll be doing that this year. That's one thing that we're going to be doing to make sure that the gospel is a core value for this church. Because if you come to this church, we want you to be able to walk to anybody and say, do you know Jesus? Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or is that something you're still working on? That's the one first question that you learn. The second one. Once they answer that, suppose you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And so you learn questions that you could diagnose someone's spiritual condition and launch you into the gospel. We want to equip you to do that, and we're going to let you know how this happens. So, but start here. We don't know when this starts, but we're going to do it soon. If you're not sharing your faith with people, hear this today. You need to hear this. You are not doing what God has called you to do. And whatever that looks like, you need to do it. You need to share your faith. And if we're going to be a healthy church, we're going to be a church that takes seriously the calling of God on our life.